All right, away we go. It is the Wednesday edition. Mr. Irrelevant, Alex Struff, Joshy DiMaggio, Will Summers with you. Plenty to get into as we get ready for the NFL draft, which, of course, begins tomorrow in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Have yins ever been to Pittsburgh? You ever been there, Joshy?
I don't think so.
Shut up with the yins thing.
Isn't that what they do out there?
Yeah. So don't do it.
Called yinzers.
Right, but instead of yous, they say yins. Like we say yous up here.
Some people do. Some people say y'all.
Some people say y'all. That's more down south, though, isn't
it? You guys.
It? Well, that's just normal. Yeah.
I think
but yins is a Pittsburgh thing. I don't know why he's telling me to shut up.
Because you used it in a sentence.
Yeah.
You tried
to be cool.
Yeah. You tried to make it seem like you're naturally saying yins.
No, I was doing a thing. We're talking about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Will told you he didn't like it.
All right, Will, you may not like this because before the show even began, you got a shot taken at you. Dr. Denver Dan says, Jonathan Gannon equals Lene Kakua at this point. Will, who is Lene Kakua?
No idea.
Mante Tail's girlfriend.
You are correct, wow. Joshy. Yep.
How's that a shot at me?
Because he said, Will, you may have to look that one up.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the Mante Tail situation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does the Mante situation predate the TV show on MTV Catfish?
Yes, it does.
I feel like it does.
It does. Now, I do not believe it predates the movie that Nev Schulman made, because Nev Schulman was catfished.
There's only one thing I can think of when you say the Nev Schulman. It's the infamous elevator picture. Google his name. I don't feel like describing it, but it's of a certain specific era.
I don't know what you're referring to. Is it a nude photo?
No, he's not nude. He's trying to be a righteous good guy. And it comes off as performative.
I have no idea what you're referring to.
If you're in the audience, Google Nev Schulman elevator picture. It'll come up, I assure you. It's a very infamous photo.
All right, Dr. Denver Dan, please report back for me. Please report back for me on what that exactly means.
It's funny.
Okay, got it. All right, plenty to get into today as we got to hear from Brian Gutekunst. And before we get to hearing some of the things Brian Gutekunst had to say prior to this week's NFL draft, what is your takeaway on listening to Brian Gutekunst speak, Josh? I'm curious if it's similar to mine.
Hardly informative, but interesting at times.
Yeah, I would add in he's also just not going to tell you.
No, his express interest is to not.
And again, like, I understand, right?
Yes.
You're doing a job. You do have to create this roster. You're not going to tell us whether or not, you know, Rashawn Gary is going to be traded like he didn't do a couple of weeks ago at the NFL meetings.
I mean, I think he tries to do that regardless of even telling you what's going to come next. I think he's always trying to leave you as little information because the Packers view it as a tactical advantage to have their guys speak as little and give you as little information, because we still haven't heard from Jonathan Gannon, who was hired months ago at this point.
Right. And Jonathan Gannon may be Lene Kakua.
I've seen a press release, but I haven't seen
him. Is he there
him.
This week? Because voluntary workouts
must.
This week. Are they voluntary for him?
Yeah, they're just hiding him.
Why?
Because
of pew-pew?
There is a part of me that I think it is beyond questioning. Like, we don't, it's no longer a conspiracy theory that they don't want him to speak to media. We know for a fact now. Because there's been a lot of excuses given about why we haven't spoken to Jonathan Gannon, and now they're all gone.
The thing I find odd about that is it's not like he hasn't gotten better at talking to the media.
Right. And it's not like he didn't speak to the media every single day in Arizona.
Well,
he was the head coach.
He was the head coach for years.
Right. And like, I know I've made fun of the pew pew a lot, and I still think he's probably awkward and not that good at talking, but they clearly have zero desire to let you hear him speak.
Right.
Like, some people are just always going to be awkward.
Pew pew.
Yeah. That's him.
Shots, explosives. Pew pew.
But, I mean, what other explanation could we possibly have?
That's the only one, and I'm with you on that. All right, let's get to this from Brian Gutekunst talking about that they do not obviously have a pick in the first round. And I thought Adam Schefter put it beautifully with you this morning, Josh. You know, the Packers have already aced the draft. They got Micah Parsons out.
Nailed it.
But the Packers obviously still do have 8 picks. Their first is not until pick 52, pick 20 in the second round. And Brian Gutekunst talked about, it'll be a little bit different. He's never entered a draft without a first-round pick. and what waiting 51 picks between Thursday and Friday will be like. Here's the general manager yesterday.
If we end up waiting 51 picks before we pick, that'll be a long time, and hopefully I have the patience and the discipline to do that. Not unlike any other draft, we'll have some players that are probably we'll talk about moving up to go get. I'm sure there'll be some scenarios to move back as well. So it's always hard to watch these players we've studied so thoroughly over the last few months and year really to come off and not help the Green Bay Packers right now.
Interesting stuff there from Brian Gutekunst. Now the tidbit I take away from that, Josh, is I don't think he views 8 picks as enough.
No.
I mean, he mentioned, yeah, maybe we could trade up. And they did that, if I'm not mistaken, for Christian Watson. They traded up to pick 35 to draft him a couple of years back. But he's only got 8 picks.
So funny because do you know how many rounds in the draft there are?
7.
Right.
And he doesn't have a first-round pick.
Right. So it's like he it's clear the philosophy is, and he's probably, I mean, it's like more of a baseball approach. If you're better than average at something, you get enough opportunity, you are going to have enough hits. And that seems to be the approach. I mean, every GM would probably say, I want more picks.
Yeah.
I do think it's fine to a point. I think it's a stressor in certain drafts more than others, but I think he's going to say that every single year as long as he's the GM. I always want more picks.
Yeah, and they're hoping for 11 next year, and he mentioned that a few times in his press availability yesterday. But if I was to guess how this is going to go down between Friday and Saturday specifically, is he'll end with double-digit picks.
I think it's possible. I also could see a situation, because he talked about it a little bit, where he could see a situation where they end up moving up somewhere into the first round. I think that's unlikely.
Oh, they're not going to move into the first round. They could move up in the second round.
I think they could move up. It depends on how the draft goes. Like, who knows what they think of some of the players they have on the team?
Yeah.
And that becomes a negotiation.
And it's something we've talked about, especially post-free agency over the course of the last month. But it doesn't feel like they have a lot of true weaknesses at the top of their depth
chart. It's depth.
Correct.
I mean, they let more people go than they brought in, so there has to be a depth thing going on.
Look at
everybody who left and look at who everybody they brought in. Those numbers don't equal out unless you're thinking there's 4 guys ready to play on NFL rosters on the practice squad.
Correct. I think that's why I've come down with the theory that he's going to trade back at least once, if not twice, to acquire more picks. Because as we've learned with Brian Gutekunst, he wants as many cracks as he can get. He wants as many bites at the apple, wants as many swings at the plate as he can get when it comes to his draft philosophy. And where the roster stands right now, I know he was asked a question yesterday about free agency, because that won't work against compensatory picks after the draft happens. Would they dip into free agency at all? And he mentioned the roster size. You can only bring, I think it's 90 guys to camp. They have, I think it's 77 or 76 right now. So obviously 8 draft picks, 6 UDFAs. You've got a roster. But I wouldn't be shocked if he added more picks in the draft to get the guys that he prefers to get.
Yeah, there's guys at the end of the roster. I mean, Pierre Strong's still a Packer. I don't think they're really holding the spot for him.
Now, from a fan perspective and watching the NFL draft, of course I want the Packers to have a lot of picks early, especially in the first round and the second round and the third round, the first 2 days of the draft, so you can really understand, okay, who is going to contribute here in their rookie season on a team we feel is pretty good. Right? Not great. Probably not a Super Bowl favorite quite yet, but they could certainly get there if some of these guys elevate.
Here's the reality of where the Packers are. They have 2 far and away clear needs. Like, a tier above the rest of the needs, and that's defensive tackle and cornerback.
Yep.
And if there are 5 guys they have rated similarly at both those positions, but the last wide receiver of a tier is there, you could very well just move back into the draft and have a better opportunity and get more picks. I also don't think, after what we've seen Brian Gutekunst do, that we can just count out the fact that they fall in love with a guy and they bounce up to probably not 32, but they bounce back to they bounce into 31, 30, and they say, I love this guy. I think this guy probably deserves to be a top 15 pick, and we're getting him all the way here at the end of the first. Like, that's certainly possible. It's unlikely, but I mean, so is any trade, I guess, before it actually happens.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. So we will see what their strategy becomes over the course of the next couple of days. But I would not be surprised if he trades back from 52 and we're all sitting there waiting with bated breath until late Friday night.
I'd be surprised if he traded
selection out
of the second round. I can certainly see going back 10 picks and it prolonging your evening.
Even 5 picks.
Right.
But then maybe he acquires an additional 7th.
Right.
And we know Goody. He likes to take more cracks at that those type of things.
Yeah.
So we will see. I'm sorry. I have to address the elephant in the room because Will is entirely distracted back there.
I'm working so hard, but
my camera looks awful.
It looks blown out.
It's starting to get really funny.
I look like as pale as one could.
I'm doing everything I can.
And maybe a little yellow.
Why don't you just remove the camera, switch to another one, and just start all
over? What do you think I'm doing?
I think we tried that, and it didn't work. So we've got...
Well, it's getting testy back there.
All the comments on YouTube right now is Strofe in an incubator. Drink more water, Strofe. Will is just messing with his camera now. Whoa, Will needs to fix Strofe's camera. So,
Will, I'm well aware.
Will, get on it.
Now what? I'm just going to make it purposely really bad.
You
should just turn him into, like, a Wizard of Oz. Who eats the blueberry thing?
Hey, look, I'm making him go away.
I'm now translucent. I'm now
He's a ghost.
All right. Well, this is fun. Sorry. I saw the YouTube comments. I see Will working back
there.
I'm
trying. I don't think there's any solution. We're just going to have to use a new camera. I'm adding a new one.
It's Strofe in an incubator.
I am not. I am in the same I'm sitting 3 feet from Josh. I just look quite different. I look like I am in
that translucent spot. One's pretty fascinating. How does that happen?
Levi chimes in. It looks like he's part of an old black and white film in the 1930s.
Yeah.
I mean,
it looks like you're in the movie. You ever seen the movie Dune with Timothée Chalamet where it all takes place in the desert?
Now I'm curious about the technology we have. Can you add cameras from different studios?
Yeah.
So, like, if we wanted to take a live look at Kyle Wallace on 101.7 The Truth, yeah, we could, in theory,
give
do that.
Give me a peek of Kyle.
Yeah, let's get a peek of Kyle.
Okay, one second.
I apologize for our audio listeners. This is doing nothing for you, but for those of you with us on YouTube.
Even more reason to go subscribe on YouTube.
Pull him up. So we have a live look at a Kyle Wallace on 101.7 The Truth.
You should take a picture of the screen, send it to him, and say, sup.
Should I just put him in there in front of Strofe the whole time?
Unbelievable. Yeah, so, okay, good stuff. This has been enjoyable. All right, well, can we get to our next audio clip? Because it is a conversation I want to have about the quarterback position, one that I had a bit earlier in the week on Kyle and Brust, and of course, with the Homer Hour with Brian Bulaga. Him and I went back and forth quite a bit on Monday afternoon on the Packers quarterback position, which is, number one, I would like to see them draft a quarterback, and I'd be fine if they draft their quarterback in the 3rd or 4th round. Because I want that position group solidified for years to come. And I'm not buying the Desmond Ridder portions. And on the video stream, you can see Kyle Wallace in the 101.7 The Truth studio instead of me right now as we continue to work on my camera. Well, let's hear from, if we repurpose a clip, like if I say something really good, Will.
It's just going to be Kyle talking.
And it's going to make no sense at all, which I look forward to. All right, here's Brian Gutekunst on what they want to do.
I think we're always looking to add to that room. I think we, obviously, picking up Desmond at the end of last year and then McCord right after the season ended, I think we did some things already, you know, for this year. But at the same time, I think, I've said this many times, I think it's the most important position of all professional sports, probably the hardest. And so we evaluate that position every year, regardless, very thoroughly. And there's some good players in this draft. And if we have an opportunity to add to that room, we will.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not an abnormal approach. I think Green Bay has been one of the most consistent in the National Football League when it comes to drafting quarterbacks. Of course, they drafted one a few years ago, Michael Pratt out of Tulane. They did not draft one last year. So it feels like if they're going to go with their kind of every other year approach, once they have their franchise quarterback solidified, this would be the year to do it. And more so than last year, and not so much the year prior, but more so than last year, they have a significant need at backup quarterback. they did not have Malik Willis anymore. And Malik Willis obviously turned out the reclamation project that was Malik Willis in Green Bay turned out to be way more successful than I think anybody anticipated or expected, but it was a reclamation project that worked. My worry is that Green Bay now is in a position where they think they can just become the reclamation headquarters for quarterbacks in the NFL. And I don't know that that's sustainable. When it comes to a guy like Malik Willis, he had been in one football situation for 2 years and it hadn't worked. And he was still young, had 2 years left on his rookie deal, but still had a lot of qualities you like in a young quarterback, specifically the mobility portion that he had. But he had a good football IQ, despite what some reports said out of Tennessee. And they were able to bring him in. He was able to learn underneath Jordan Love, but in spots where he was needed and his services were looked upon, he was able to provide and win crucial games over the course of the two-year tenure he was in Green Bay. So much so that if he had not won some of the games he won, the Packers probably aren't a playoff team, specifically 2 years ago. So when it comes to what Malik Willis did, great stuff, and what you want ideally in a backup quarterback, in a position in which you hope you never see, Malik Willis was everything you wanted and more. Now, on that note, can Desmond Ridder be that? A guy that's been in five different football situations in the last 4 years, it does scare me a little bit that he might not be able to become a reliable backup quarterback. And again, it's one you hope you never see. You hope you have the Sean Clifford treatment like you did 3 years ago. Jordan Love was never injured. He played the entire season. You didn't have to turn to Sean Clifford. You hope that's the situation no matter who the backup is in 2026. But the harsh reality is Jordan Love has suffered injuries each of the last 2 years, and you have had to turn to a backup quarterback. So would you rather take a flyer on somebody in the third, fourth, fifth round and try to develop that guy the next 4 years, or go with a guy like Desmond Ridder? I don't know that there's a correct answer, because the true answer is you never want to see your backup quarterback. But for me, I don't want to go down the Desmond Ridder path. I want to go down a quarterback that probably won't be drafted until late day two or maybe early day three, round four or five, and see if you can develop a young guy who's more impressionable than, say, a guy who's been in the league for 5 years, 4 years, will be 5 years, and Cincinnati picked Sean Clifford over him, and Minnesota picked J.J. McCarthy over him. I would like to try something new at that position, and it seems like the Packers could be leaning that way, Josh.
Yeah, third or fourth round is a bit rich for my blood. You could talk me into fourth round. I think the backup quarterback position is probably everly increasing more important. So I agree with your premise. I can't scoff at it offhand. I do think there are more probably pressing needs in terms of injuries that would, like, let's be matter of fact about it. If we didn't have Jordan Love for 12 games last season, even with Malik Willis playing as well he was, they're not a playoff team. They probably fall out. They probably can't compete to the degree they need to, especially with how good Jordan Love was last season. But I do think there's probably going to be an ever-increasing importance stressed by NFL teams. Just because of some of the contracts backup guys are getting now. I mean, Jimmy G is like one of the top 40 paid all-time quarterbacks, and he's been a backup for more than half of his career at this point. The thing is, you really have to love somebody. And it has to be somebody you're viewing as an extreme value to go at four. Because even if we compare it to the starters, the reason Aaron Rodgers ended up being a Packer is because there was one first-round grade left. The Packers tried to trade out of that position, didn't find anyone, and said, screw it, we're just going to take the guy we have this grade on. Could there be a situation where the Packers view somebody as like a starter level, not a superstar, but a starter level that is there in the fourth round, and they go, hey, this really fills a need for us. We'll have this person for the next four seasons, and we can sort of just write the position off. That certainly possible. There's inherent risks at that as well. So you have to balance the risk of trusting your scouting and your development program versus what you would be able to have at that position at other positions on the field that might. Like, ideally, we see the backup quarterback, whoever it is, zero times next year, except for Neal's.
Correct. Neal, right. The Kurt Benkert. Right.
Right. And that's where you have to start trying, to balance out, like, our desires for this guy to never play. Now, there is added value where if a guy really impresses, a la someone like Malik Willis, you can either get a compensatory pick or you can trade that guy if he has to start for a prolonged period of time and then just start the cycle over again with QB needy teams. Like, that's all possible. I just think that high is really difficult unless the draft falls your way earlier. Like, you would want, if they go defensive tackle and defensive tackle and cornerback, and they really love both the guys and think they got them at a good value, then fourth round, I could say, okay, maybe. But other than that, I would fear you are shoring up a position that you hope never sees the field in replacement of other players who are more likely to see the field on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, something I find super odd about the quarterback position with Green Bay this year is that they – so the way that top 30 visits are reported are through reporters, right? They get a source or they hear from somebody in the building that they hosted X, Y, and Z on a visit. One thing I have never seen is something that came out this week from Bill Huber of Sports Illustrated, and that is that he was asked not to report a quarterback visit, just the position, but not a name. And it seems like that name has now been leaked.
It has been.
It's the Virginia quarterback?
Yes.
But it was just pretty much listed as like a top secret visit with a quarterback. And that's unique to me. Because every other one, they've had no problem.
Yeah, I can't make sense of it. It's not even a name I really recognize. The Talon Green is the name everybody's mentioned a handful of times and has even been mocked to the Packers because I think he fits that sort of Malik Willis build. And I do sort of like having different, a more mobile guy as a backup instead of a Sean Clifford style.
Yeah,
where, like Malik Willis, frankly, fails two seasons ago if it doesn't have the ability to use his legs the way he does. Because they didn't trust him. He didn't have enough time to throw the football. Now, as he got more time and got better, it was pretty clear Matt LaFleur was really comfortable with him throwing the ball and thought he was more likely than not going to make the right decision. The thing is, you probably want somebody who offers more than, I mean, even a Desmond Ridder, not much of a runner at all, even though he did a little bit in college. This game changes when you're playing at Cincinnati versus the NFL. I think, though, that's why the connections are made. I don't know what to expect from them. I think they almost most certainly come away with a drafted quarterback. And I think that the sweet spot's probably fifth, sixth round.
I think that's probably where they end up going. I agree with you. But I
wouldn't be outraged if they took one in the fourth. Third round, I'd be really suspicious of it. Just because of how confident I also am in Jordan Love.
Sure.
Even though I know likely, like, for moving forward, every team, I believe, is approaching the quarterback position as if we are going to get 90% of our games out of our quarterback every single season. Some it's going to be zero. Some it's going to be six games. Some it's going to be even more. Like, that's just a part of the equation now with the way concussions are dealt with in the NFL. Like, those things are just going, sometimes your head's going to bounce off the turf and there's nothing you can really do about it.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. It's a position where I think more so than ever for Packers fans, because of how much of an Iron Man Favre was and how consistently Rodgers played, it's been brought to the attention that, okay, having a good backup quarterback is fun. Now, there are still some dumb people out there that are like, oh, Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love, which is not the case. But I'm not trying to.
I'm rooting for Malik.
I am too. I'm not trying. Well, for the compensatory pick,
correct?
Specifically,
but also, plays a lot and plays well.
Just in general, I'm rooting for him because the story's cool,
yes,
right? And it's Green Bay South down in Miami these days. But I don't want to ignite the quarterback controversy by drafting a quarterback in the fourth round. But I do want to see a high upside 4-year answer at that position rather than Desmond Ridder. But let me ask you this, Chachi. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you three options, and I want you to tell me what you would do at backup quarterback. Option A is Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ritter's your backup in 26.
You count that one out.
Option B is drafting a quarterback in, say, let's say the fifth round, and that is your backup quarterback this season.
Yep.
Option C would be trading one of your two seventh-round picks to Indianapolis for Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson, trade or draft one, and then stick with Desmond Ridder. I think Anthony Richardson is well worth a gamble. I think you could also trade for and then draft one, even if it's like a seventh rounder, and then have that guy in the practice squad.
Sure.
Like, that's possible. It's been done before. It's certain, like, they are susceptible then to being a risk, and a team could sign them and steal them away from you. But I'm all about the Anthony Richardson experience just because of how cheap he is. I mean, Shefty said it today. He can be had on the cheap. And that level of athleticism, that level of arm strength, that's just something I think would work. Like, they could put together the Malik Willis plan tomorrow for Anthony Richardson, and he could do it.
I'd have much more confidence in that reclamation project than I do Desmond Ridder.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think you agree with that. It's nothing against Desmond Ridder, but, like, yeah. It kind of is something against him. Yeah.
We've seen enough.
Right. Cincinnati picked Sean Clifford over him.
Yeah.
Last offseason.
Yep.
Minnesota didn't want to keep him around.
Yeah.
And the Packers were spiraling for an option because Love was hurt. And God forbid Malik Willis goes down, so they threw poor Clayton Tune out there against Minnesota mm-hmm. in Week 18. And that wasn't obviously the end.
Sent a man to his funeral.
Correct. Few men to the funeral, in fact.
Yeah.
In that game. So we will see, but I'm hoping for a draft pick of a quarterback when you, me, and Will are together Saturday on ESPN Wisconsin Draft. What are we calling that one? Week? Morning? ESPN Wisconsin Draft Night?
Draft Coverage. The day?
Draft Coverage, okay.
We just call it whatever we want.
Yeah.
We call it Mr. Relevant Talks the Draft.
ESPN Wisconsin Draft Extravaganza, as we will be with you from 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock on Saturday, reacting to mainly the fourth and fifth round, because day three tends to drag out a little bit, and I don't think we're hanging for 8 hours.
No, I've scheduled us for 4.
That works for me. That works for me. But you will have me, Brian Bulaga, John Anderson tomorrow night during round one coverage. We will see if the Packers find a way to trade into round one. We'll be with you from 6 until the end of round one. And then Friday night from 6 until 10, it'll be me and the Home Slice, me and Steve the Homer True with you, as well as Jason Wilde joining us throughout for what we assume will be the Packers' first and second picks in the NFL draft Friday night. So me and Steve the Homer True will be there to react with you to that. And then me, Josh, and Will with you Saturday to talk all things rounds 4 through 7. And some special guests will join us throughout as well on Saturday. Let's get to the awkward quote of the day from Brian Gutekunst. Still a decision to be made, or maybe not so much made, on what will be a fourth-year edge rusher, the former first-round pick, Lucas Van Ness, who it seems to be lining up to have a starting spot in the Packers' defensive line, especially early in the season. Here is Brian Gutekunst in an awkward exchange when asked about the fifth-year option for former first-round pick Lucas Van Ness.
We're working through that. I think it's May 1st. We've got to do that, so we'll do that in the appropriate time.
A lot of teams have made the decision. What do you got to decide for the next week on him?
I haven't talked to him about it yet. Just got here yesterday, so. That's it.
All right, let me give you the GM translation on that. He's not getting the fifth-year option. He just hasn't told them he's not getting the fifth-year option yet, which then leads you to this. Similarly to Quay Walker a year ago, it's kind of a do-or-die season for Lucas Van Ness in green and gold. If Lucas Van Ness is good / above average, he probably gets an extension. If he is below expectation or amazing, he's going elsewhere to get his money. Lucas Van Ness, it's a do-or-die season for him in Green Bay. That's the translation I got from Brian Gutekunst, which is kind of what we've seen through 3 years. He's had moments where you go, okay, that looked good from LVN. And he's had other moments where you go, I just haven't seen the growth you'd hope to see with a guy that you drafted as a developmental prospect. As a young guy who hadn't started any games in college, and that's just kind of how they do it at Iowa. Played a lot of snaps at Iowa. But when you brought him in 3 years ago in the 2023 NFL draft, the expectation was he probably won't contribute a ton early, but you hope he can grow into the nickname he has. You hope he can grow into a Herculean-type player. And that just hasn't happened yet for Lucas Van Ness. So you're at a point where the fifth-year option does not make a lot of sense because it is a very expensive option for an edge rusher in terms of Lucas Van Ness. I'm intrigued by what the season brings for LVN, but this seems like the right decision by Brian Gutekunst after the former 13th overall pick has not given you 13th overall value through his first 3 seasons.
If I were to write the story of what happens with LVN this season, he starts as a starter, shows some good flashes, but then ultimately loses favor to either a draft pick or to Baron Sorrell / Colin Oliver. That seems to be the most likely. I think he's still going to be useful and still used, a la Rashawn Gary. But I don't think there's really any, it's been 3 years. He's been given opportunity. I've been impressed at times, and I think he's shown flashes. It just doesn't seem like a full-time true contributor is really in his future. That doesn't seem to be like something that LVN necessarily has. I understand how the mistake was made on a guy like Lucas Van Ness. Every intangible was there. It's just he lacked production. I am going to be interested, and I think we ought to start tracking this when it comes to Green Bay Packers players, especially ones that do have definable things where you can look at their production. They've made a lot of picks on guys that lacked production, and it hasn't worked. I think marrying production with the explosiveness is probably the right answer and the perfect way to, like, if a guy is 0.1 less relative athletic score but has multiple 7, 8, 9, 10 sack season in college, probably take him over the guy who's, like, the all-time freak. Mm-hmm. That's just the way I think it should be approached, because I think the perfect prospect is the marriage of those. Now, the perfect prospect of those oftentimes is a top five pick, but that's not always the case. We see guys without production get drafted really high and then have production. So I understand how those mistakes get made from Goody. I just am interested in how they're going to change their approach, because I think this year, amongst the many things that have happened in the offseason, I think this is the year Goody's most offering up. He's made mistakes, and I don't even think that applies just to Goody. I think that applies to the coaching staff as well. I think we're done with the no wide receiver one joke. That's gone. Mm-hmm. I also think the lack of veteran leadership and lack of veteran players, where 30 is a he who shall not be named type age, I think that stuff is all done now.
I do too.
And I think those are meaningful pivots in terms of approach.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point by you. Given what we've learned, I would say over the course of, I wouldn't say the full calendar year, but since last August when training for Micah Parsons to now, Goody has taken the urgency approach a little bit differently than he had when he was more in a developmental approach. Mm-hmm. And I think the realization that, okay, if we're going to win a Super Bowl, it's probably happened pretty soon.
I think the thing that was most frustrating as a Packers fan with Ted Thompson is the approach never changed. Mm-hmm. He was always building the same type of team, regardless of how good, talented, and ready to win a Super Bowl roster was. He built his way. It seems pretty clear Goody has had different approaches through his, ninth year now as general manager. And I think that can be viewed as an improvement, where I don't think you need to be the highest spender in free agency, but it was largely ignored in Green Bay up until Brian Gutekunst came in town. He's made some significant signings. The vast majority of them have been great. Last year is the one that really sticks out as having some issues. But prior to that, I mean, the guy's been nails when it comes to free agency signing. Za'Darius Smith, for what they got him under contract with and the production he had, was amazing. Huge Preston hit. Smith was awesome. Adrian Amos was awesome. Billy Turner was awesome.
Rasul Douglas off a practice squad was awesome. The first year of Devondre Campbell was a huge hit. Obviously, Jacobs and McKinney have been hits.
Yes.
So, no doubt, he's been great for the most for the most part in free agency. Last year was a rough one with Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks. But we will see what Sky Moore and Benjamin St. Juice and Javon Hargrave become.
Yeah.
And ultimately, Zaire Franklin, of course, who he traded for.
Yeah.
So we will see on that. As you were speaking, I was just looking back at the 2023 NFL draft.
Yes.
And you mentioned the number one receiver thing is over and done with. The reigning offensive player of the year was drafted after Lucas Vint.
Yeah, JSN.
JSN. Mm-hmm. One of the best cornerbacks in football was selected 4 picks after Lucas Van Ness and Christian Gonzalez, who was my draft crush that year. Shoot, even Will McDonald was picked 2 picks later. He's been better for the Jets than he was in Green Bay, or Lucas Van Ness has been in Green Bay. Zay Flowers was in that draft. Sam Laporta was in that draft. Brian Branch was in that draft. Who were some of the late picks in that draft that stuck out?
I mean, one of the best picks in all the draft is Tucker Kraft.
That's true. That's true. Puka Nacua was a fifth round pick in that year's draft.
Yep.
And that's about it. So yeah, certainly some misses in that draft, but also some hits. Obviously, Tucker Kraft, a big one. So do or die season for Lucas Van Ness. All right, last thing from Brian Gutekunst, because I think we're both going to have several opinions on this one. So I heard you guys talking yesterday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy about Mike Clay, who does fantasy and football analytics for ESPN. You hear him on the Fantasy Focus podcast if you listen to that. Mike Clay took a look at the starting five offensive linemen for each NFL franchise and ranked them 1 through 32 and really kind of rated every offensive lineman in the league on a scale from, like, bad to good. Right, they're just color-coded. And Green Bay's starting offensive line from left to right, Morgan, Banks, Ryan, Belton, Tom. A lot of first names on that offensive line. Morgan, Ryan, and Tom. First name, last names. I got to be honest, I never realized that.
Same with Belton.
Shut up, Will.
I got a friend named Belton.
No, you do not.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lacrosse program on the eastern seaboard in the south that has somebody with the first name Belton.
Or Banks, probably.
Oh, Banks,
Banks
for sure.
Is for sure, yeah. That one you can
That's
count.
Some kid in, like, North Carolina that lives on, like, the coastal shore.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Okay, so five first names, last names on the Packers offensive line. Anyway, Mike Clay ranked them 27th of the 32 teams in the NFL. Which I don't think is unfair. It was a little surprising it was that low.
Belton. Historically a surname that means town by the river.
That's... No, surname is last name.
Yes, correct.
But that's still kind of...
Or farmstead.
That's kind of nuts. That's just, Nate kind of nailed that. Brian Gutekunst asked about his offensive line. And we all know depth is an issue there. Everybody with a brain knows depth is an issue on the offensive line. Brian Gutekunst asked how he feels about his offensive line. Here's his response.
Yeah, no, I think I feel really good about it. I mean, obviously, we got a couple guys coming off injury. You know, Zach's coming off an injury and Jacob's coming off an injury. But, you know, I really like our starting five. And then, you know, I thought, you know, Jacob did a really good job in that last game at center. So I feel really good about his ability. And we're going to get Glover back as well. You know, Dominic Jennings. So then, you know, and Kennard, we brought Kennard back. So I feel really good about, you know, our whole group and the competition that's in that room. We're always going to try to look to add, you know, to the offensive line. There's only so many big guys in the world that can play at a high level. So, but no, I feel good about it.
So he just named five guys there. on top of saying, I really like our starting five. He then went on to name five guys, of which we called the wrong name. Yeah. Donovan Jennings, called him Dominic Jennings.
Dominic. Donovan changed his name to Donovan over the offseason, apparently.
Apparently.
My middle name's Donovan.
And your social security number, Will?
I'm not going to say that. I'm
well,
not
his
stupid.
Maiden name? Yeah, that'd be dumb. Come on.
Come on.
That'd be dumb.
Let's not be dumb here.
Yeah,
we're not dumb. We're not a dumb show. So, again, it's GM speak. He's going to say he likes his guys. He's the one who picked him after all. But to get a guy's name wrong in the middle of that soliloquy about how much you love the line and how you're getting these guys back, but also, like, actions speak louder than words. You tried to replace Darian Kennard every time he came in for an injured player last year. Jacob Monk hasn't been a choice at center, despite the fact that that's what you drafted him to be at some point underneath Josh Myers. You didn't go to Jacob Monk after Josh Myers signed a $2 million contract in New York. You went to Elgton Jenkins. And then when Elgton Jenkins broke his leg, you didn't go to Jacob Monk. You went to Sean Ryan. So let's not sit here and act like you love all the pieces on this offensive line. I imagine they're going to pick at least two in this draft, Joshy, whether that's a seventh-round pick or a second-round pick. I think they're going to pick at least two offensive line just to add to the depth here and hope that they hit, which they have done in mid-rounds in the past. Sean Ryan's a mid-round pick. Zach Tom's a mid-round pick. You know, you kind of look across the board. A lot of these day three guys have played really meaningful snaps on the Packers' offensive line over the course of the last several years. But, Dominic Donovan Jennings probably isn't going to be your answer when it comes to your depth issues at that position group over the course of the next couple of months. But we will see what happens in the draft, Joshy. I just thought him calling a dude the wrong name and just naming names was not a great response to tell you his confidence in the offensive line.
This was an old Ben Brustism. Whenever he didn't have anything to say, he just named guys' names. He was infamous for that during the Scales and Brust era. I tend to agree with him. I feel pretty confident about the starting offensive line as it's as it's signed up. I do think there is a degree of the Packers sort of need a runner straight, though, from the offensive line to go from like bad to mediocre to good. Like, I do think you need both Jordan Morgan and Anthony Belton to sort of take a step forward and become at least good starters. I don't necessarily need Pro Bowlers. You would love for one of them to be at least a Pro Bowl level of talent. The big thing is Zach Tom, and does he come back, and how quickly does he come back, and what does he look like when he does come back? Aaron Banks is a total, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, totally.
I hope he gets through training camp healthy. He seemed to have something nagging the entirety of the season. I do feel fairly confident in Sean Ryan, and I don't know if maybe that's just me seeing something, seeing it so bad with Elton, and then making him out to be better than he actually was. But he doesn't feel like a guy who, which we used to get crazy about Josh Myers, who'd get blown up in just fantastic fashion, where you'd look and the nose tackle, whoever was shaded over the center, was in the backfield before you could even blink. That's one thing he's been good at thus far, which I think is mostly what you're looking for when it comes to center. Center's sort of the forgotten position, even though guys like Linderbaum are getting paid more. They certainly need depth, and the thing is, I don't think he has any real plans for Dominic Jennings or Travis Glover or Jacob Monk. I just think they're cheap bodies that you can keep there, and you know, better to work with what you have or what you know than what you don't know, and invest in that position even more. They're likely going to try to go back to the well on the guy that plays tackle, but they think can play both positions, just because that would seemingly perfectly fit their needs as they exist. Because after Darian Kennard, things get as ugly as possible.
Yeah. I can't pick a guy I have confidence in terms of a depth piece.
No.
Which, again, I don't know how many teams in the league can sit here and say, oh, you know, our seventh lineman.
Yeah, most teams don't have five they feel confident in. Some teams don't even have four they feel confident in. The thing is, I don't think if you honestly ask Goody, he would be able to say, I'm confident in all five guys. Yeah. There's question marks.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel confident in Tom.
I'm a Jordan Morgan believer.
I am too.
But the chances I'm wrong are still not zero.
I hate to break this to you. They're very far from zero.
Yes. Like, I wouldn't go 50-50, but there's a significant chance he just can't play the position. And that happens.
He didn't look great in that final game against Minnesota when he played it. However, the dudes around you play a role too.
Yes. So does setting protections. So does like your quarterback and not airmailing snap counts.
And a quarterback who had only been on the roster, I think he was on the practice squad for less than 2 months.
Yeah, there is. You would have loved to, and it's no excuse. You're put on the field. You have to perform. That's the NFL. That's how things go. I mean, that's how it is in any industry. But if you look at it with a long-term approach, you can make the case of most guys with that experience who have been asked to play everywhere but left tackle are going to have a very hard time.
I totally agree. So I would not. I will be disappointed, but I would not be shocked if when we come in Saturday to do our draft show for rounds 4 through 7, it's 2 offensive linemen.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time figuring. So 2nd, 3rd, 4th round. What positions do you want addressed in those rounds?
In no particular order, corner, edge, offensive line. Or corner, defensive line, offensive line. I guess I won't specifically say edge because a big body in the middle wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, I think if I got specific, it's edge, corner, defensive tackle, even more specifically nose tackle. But I don't have really any preference in it because there's a chance with the way people are talking about my guy DDS that he's available in the 3rd round, which would be run to the board, Goody, get that guy.
Josh, he loves this guy, DDS.
Mm-hmm.
His name again is, I got this. He went to Penn State.
Yep.
His last name is Smith?
Sutton.
Sutton. We have our buddy Christian Catt in the booth with Will right now, Penn State alum.
Uh-huh.
So he's probably so disappointed.
Uh-huh. He just said his name.
He did? That doesn't help me.
I had been pronouncing it wrong, I realized.
Which is funny that everyone here knows it except for you.
Yeah.
Darian?
Nope.
Nope.
Dennis?
No. Nope.
There's a Dennis
there
in
is
there.
A Dennis. It is,
is it Dennis Sutton?
Yes.
What's the first one? I don't remember.
It's Deny. I thought it was Danny, but it's Deny Dennis Sutton.
Deny Dennis Sutton. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
I know a guy named Deny. I'm not making a Will joke here.
You guys,
I wasn't joking either.
You guys have inundated me with useless information today.
We're good at that. That's our sweet spot. Speaking of which, Will, before we go to One Word Wednesday and what we missed, you owe me an apology.
Hold on, I got to change this. I accidentally have Tori up there.
Tori Lowe was in my camera.
I forgot
box,
to change though. The three shot.
Will, while you change that, I just want to point out that you owe me an apology.
Why would I do?
So on Wednesday, or excuse me, on Monday's show, you said that the summer of Sal Frelick is over before it even began.
I didn't say that. Somebody told me to say that.
And I just want to point out that...
Let me guess, he had one good game.
No.
He got his...
I told you multiple times on Monday, he's on a streak, three-game hit streak, and that I wasn't worried at all. And that hit streak is now up to four games.
You're coming at the wrong guy for this.
No, I'm not. You're the one who brought it up.
Yeah, but I'm not the one that believes it.
1-for-3 yesterday with an RBI, scored two runs in the 12-4 win for the Brewers over the Tigers.
You're what are you so giggling? You're what? So sorry.
It's a four-game hit streak. What are you giggling at?
1-for-3 with, let me guess, a single?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. I am proud to say... And I'm happy about this, and I don't want anybody to say anything different. I am super happy he's almost hitting 200. I do think that's awesome for him.
One more hit, it'll be over.
Yeah. Too bad there's usually 3 to 4 at-bats.
He might almost be half of an average hitter now.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy. You guys are so unfair to my guy. He's on a four-game hit
streak.
We're
unfair for him. He's gotten every single chance to prove us wrong.
What are the longest hit streaks in the MLB right now?
His OPS plus right now, big improvement. It was at 60, if you remember. He's up to 64. That's a guy raking.
Oh, he's one away from making the graphic on baseballmusings.com. One game away.
Seems like a legit source.
Ian Happ, Shohei Ohtani are on five-game hit streaks. Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah, we don't pay those attention to hit streaks that are.
Kevin McGonigal's only on a 6-game hit streak.
These guys start games.
Yeah.
So does Sal.
He didn't.
No.
He did yesterday. Oh, God forbid a guy gets a day off.
Three.
Yeah, a lot.
Josh, aren't you off next week?
Let's look at his. Yeah, I'm going to a bachelor party.
You are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm off the following week on Friday.
Why do you guys always take vacations at the same time?
No. It's different times.
No.
He's next week.
Yeah, but it's
week.
They're right after each other.
Well, that's...
Because Strolf is trying to be more like me.
I am trying to be more like Joshy. He is one of the smallest guys I know. Smallest. I mean smartest.
Smallest?
Smallest, you're thinking of Sal.
Yeah. I see what happened there.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was looking at Will.
You're looking, at,
that
a Sal you're looking at how small his OPS was, and you're like, that sounded wrong.
Dr. Denver Dan chimes in. Will is on the Josh payroll, apparently. Because you said I was targeting the wrong person, even though you're the one that brought it up.
But now I believe it. Because you gave some pretty poor reasoning.
Yeah.
You're being sorry.
Hit streak.
And yeah, I
big
actually...
Big game yesterday offensively.
I actually am on the Joshy payroll. He's my boss.
That is actually...
Yeah. So Dr. Denver Dan, thank you for...
That is actually a statement.
Thank you for giving out... facts.
All right, let's hit everything we've missed in the last week. We will respond, Josh and I will, in one word or less. It is time now for one word, sometimes less, sometimes more, Wednesday on Mr. Irrelevant.
I think Buffalo, the city of Buffalo, needs more sports teams. They only have two.
This is a good take.
Right? And every time, even when they're like decently good, we just get some all-time moments. We got the Buffalo Blade Gang. If you go over to the YouTube stream, these guys are just... rollerblading around the city of Buffalo at all times. This is probably like during the day, maybe like at noonish. I don't think they played till like 6 or 7.
Yeah, I'll say. I mean,
and then they're just fighting the dummy. Sorry,
I saw the video the other day. I think this was on Sunday when
I saw a child beating that same dummy.
I saw somebody go in on rollerblades at full speed and tackle the dummy, which was pretty sweet. Yeah, Buffalo rocks. My word is going to be wings, because good wings out there, apparently. But I agree with the initial take from you, William, which was they should have more sports
cool
teams.
They are the spiritual cousin to Green Bay / Wisconsin sports fans.
Oh, yeah.
Smaller market, a little bit afterthoughts, but when things go well, it takes over everything. The Buffalo Sabres hadn't been in the playoffs in eons, and they are good, and they're fun, and the atmosphere in the barn, that's a little puck talk for you. That's what we call arenas. The barn.
I've heard that before. Josh, thanks for that.
Too busy watching just pinch
puck,
hits.
Just a puck guy. But I'm happy for them, and I hope the Sabres go far. I hope it's a long run, and I hope there's more of it. The thing is, it feels like this is a little self fulfilling prophecy from the people of Buffalo. Like, once you're established as the dive through tables guys,
sure,
fan base, you got to keep elevating. You got to take it to the next level. You got to have a blade gang. Like, this is, I think we have just cracked the surface of what fandom for Buffalo hockey can look like.
Bruins win last night, evening up that series 1-1 as it heads to Boston tomorrow. NHL playoffs, best playoffs in sports, debatably.
I thoroughly enjoy them.
I know you're an MLB guy.
Yeah. But NHL's probably too.
NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs are electric.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of what I'm most locked into and invested in, is definitely NFL. But in terms of,
agreed,
if my team's not playing and I'm not invested, I seek out the most by far NHL.
I agree with that. Okay, what's next?
We got to talk about the New York Mets.
Yeah.
Their payroll this season, $315 million. And they have lost 12 straight games. They have the most losses in baseball. And last night, on the verge of snapping said losing streak, Devin Williams blows it to the Minnesota Twins. 12 losses in a row for the Mets.
Comedic is my word. Congratulations, David Stearns.
I'm going to say grass, because the grass ain't always greener, David. You got all that money to spend. This, to me, is one of the more confounding things that I've experienced as a sports person or somebody who follows sports. You took a guy who was exceptional at his job in Milwaukee with a lesser payroll, gave him a larger payroll and the ability to do virtually anything he wanted. And there's something about being the New York Mets. They've changed ownership. They've changed manager. They changed front office.
This is their manager's first season right now, too.
Yeah.
I saw an article today from a Mets fan that said if he lost 100 games in a row, we would have to fire him then.
The stink of being a New York metropolitan just carries over. It's hereditary.
Yeah.
Did you see so the Mets owner 2 nights ago, this isn't a one word, but I just want to say this.
He needs to stop tweeting.
He went to sit courtside at a Knicks game and they blew a 14-point lead. This was on the Mets off day. So he's racking up the losses on his off day.
I love that.
Also, the Twins last night after they beat the Mets tweeted out, things you can get in a dozen, eggs, roses, Mets losses.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah,
that's
brother.
Mean. That's awesome.
I love that.
Josh, please close your ears for this one. The UK is banning cigarettes.
Permanently.
People born 2009 or later will never be allowed to legally purchase cigarettes or tobacco, in the UK.
Mm-hmm. But if you were born prior to 2009, you can continue to buy it?
People born 2009 or later, yes, will never be allowed to legally purchase tobacco.
So they've effectively banned it with...
They banned fun.
From thus point forward,
sorry,
type
I'm not
thing.
Endorsing smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, I mean, it's... But especially in the UK and just in general.
They love heaters there.
An occasional drunk cig.
Yeah. I think of the Beatles, and I feel like the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
Did they like heaters?
I imagine so. Coming up when they did, for sure.
So, Josh, I guess this doesn't even apply to you, but will you ever allow your kids to take a vacation to the UK?
No. You can't,
I was going to ask if he's ever going to go back, but this rule unaffects him.
Yeah. I mean, it's a travesty. It's worthy of a mutiny, a coup, something. It's, I mean, I understand the health ramifications. And children out there, if you're listening, don't start smoking cigarettes ever. But when you're with the boys, you had a couple brewskis, you have one.
Some libations.
Dude, if you've ever listened,
you have one.
If you've ever listened to a band from the UK, I guarantee you can find at least one song where they reference cigarettes. Dr. Denver Dan chimes in. I was 30 pounds lighter when I smoked. Unreal. My word's unreal. I never thought the day would come.
No.
We got a team that's cheating now in professional sports. Don't know if you guys have seen this, and no one's done anything about it. The Rockies are cheating.
I did hear about that.
They hit first pitch fastballs, and they beat the Dodgers, which no one ever should. So apparently the Rockies are cheating, according to Dodgers catcher Dalton Rushing. He said it was a little fishy how they got some hits.
Yeah,
because they beat the Dodgers.
Whoa would be my word. Woe is me for the big old angry Dodgers.
I mean,
I think we have to find out who's responsible for this.
Pound sand, get lost.
Those are both two words.
And it's too bad. I mean, Dalton Rushing. You're just gonna. I mean, it's the Rockies. You'd figure they'd win a little bit more. And to be the team that has everything to be accusing. Weren't they just jumping on first pitch fastballs?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And the Rockies,
which is
all,
common practice.
If you know anything about the Rockies, all they can do is hit. Yeah. Like they rake, and they were playing in Colorado,
right?
Where the elevation.
All right, let's rifle through the last two.
The Omaha Storm Chasers are doing a nothing but baseball night, just like the olden days. No on-field promotions, ad reads, music, or videos.
Dumb,
terrible,
why?
Garbage.
It's like the Masters.
Because they're a minor league baseball team. They obviously want families and kids to show up, which is why you do that in the first place.
Walk-up song. I love a walk-up song.
I think
a little Dear Maria for Joey Ortiz, even though it's that now is maybe being attached with negative things for a lot of fans.
The only thing they need is the actual organ music. They can't outlaw all music. It's got to be the organ.
I wouldn't mind.
I do. I didn't even think about the walk-up songs, though. That's a good point.
I wouldn't mind everything being an organ. I think that'd be fun.
Josh is already enhancing this horrible idea. Yeah. Good job, Josh.
Like Joey Ortiz's walk-up song being played on an organ.
Yeah, that would be funny. But like, no, in stadium, like that's what you're there for, especially when it comes to minor league baseball.
In their defense,
that's the whole thing.
They did plan this out on a Tuesday, so maybe they're not expecting big numbers anyway. Last thing I got, the 13th ranked prospect in the NBA draft, Thomas Hall, will return to Florida for over $4 million, it's being reported.
Yeah, it's the new norm. Norm would, I guess, be my word. This isn't shocking anymore, especially in football. I guess less so in basketball because you get paid so much if you are a lottery pick. But money talks, man. So norm would be my word.
Yeah, I mean, NIL, I'm not worried about the 13th prospect. Now, if it's a top five, top three prospect.
It's still first round, though.
Yeah, but 13th is still, like, you're not guaranteed to play all that much. You're not guaranteed to have that much opportunity. What is even the...
This could have been John Horst guy.
What even...
There's a chance.
There's a chance.
Don't say no. There's definitely a chance.
There's definitely a chance.
Yeah, and I'm saying it doesn't matter because the NBA draft stops at, like, pick seven.
That's
true.
Well... Not always. Giannis was pick what, 15?
Yeah, except for, you know, the handful of times ever in history where somebody's mattered past pick 12.
There's no better draft to do like the redraft in than the NBA. And I've been getting these videos on my feed where they redraft old drafts. And it's like, okay, pick 8 was much better than pick 2, you know? Anyway. Okay.
So the 13th
Wait,
prospect,
so you're saying hindsight's 20/20?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
Oh.
The 13th ranked player... In the NBA draft this season, if he goes at 13, would get $4.298 million.
Right, so if you fall a little bit, you're making more money, and you can elevate your stock, obviously, by returning. So, not a bad choice, and I think we'll see more
right.
of it.
And,
guaranteed to live in Florida.
If he makes his way into the top five next year with, say, he gets better, that's $7 million, $7.5 million.
Right.
So like, there's a significant upgrade.
Yeah, and Florida's going to be good again, so he's certainly going to have national eyes on him. Yeah. All right, we've got 30 seconds left in the show. Quick, what we missed. Will, any words?
No, he's been fighting that camera all day.
Yeah.
That's a great point. He hasn't been
You guys want to see Tori Lowe?
No, I'm all right.
I've been watching him and Kyle the entire time, and it's really funny.
Josh, I just gotta tell you.
It almost feels bad.
I just gotta tell you, I did something dumb last night.
Okay. How's that any different than normal?
No, I've never done it to this degree. I was on Facebook, and I saw an ad for a website that you put your info into, and it'll give you the best way to lower your car insurance. I have received...
No way you were this dumb.
I have received 7 phone calls from telemarketers today, and I can't get them to stop. So, that's what I've been dealing with.
On Facebook?
I know, I'm an idiot.
What are you, a grandma? Good Dios mio.
I saw a sign the other day when I was driving, and it was just like $25 Wi-Fi. That's all it said. And it had a phone number, and it said no ads or something like that.
Amazing. I mean,
all right. I'll give you an update account on Friday.
It's like when Skelsel got fooled by the fake website.
Oh, yeah.
For Ben Bruss headphones.
It'll happen to all of us. All right, that'll do it for us today. We're back with you Friday beginning at 12:30 Central. We'll break down the first round of the NFL draft. Preview what's to come for the Packers on night 2 of the draft coming up Friday. Of course, we are available wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the ESPN Wisconsin app. If you haven't already, give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Give us a subscribe on YouTube, and we will talk to you then on Friday beginning at 12:30. Peace.